You agreed to translate Mr. Nolan's book into Portuguese.
Correct.
Their deal was open to interpretation.
And then you sent him a bill.
I sent him the bill.
And he didn't pay the bill.
Correct.
Well, what business arrangement did you make with him?
At that moment, we didn't make any business arrangements.
Did a language barrier get in the way?
What he did required a lot of time and work. And why would he do that for you for nothing?
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy. Jose Carnero is suing his colleague, David Nolan Sr., for unpaid services regarding the translation of David's book.
Order. All rise. Case number 63 on the calendar in the matter of Carnero versus Nolan.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat, please.
Mr. Carnero, how do you know Mr. Nolan?
Your Honor, I met Mr. Nolan about 2.5 years ago. We are both teaching at a local Catholic social services in Hyannis, where he and I teach English as a second language.
And what is your primary language?
I'm a native Portuguese speaker.
And what about you, Mr. Nolan?
I'm a native English speaker.
Okay. This is what the case is about. Mr. Nolan, you wrote a book.
Yes.
In English. What's the subject matter of the book?
I copyrighted the trial Lee Harvey Oswald, and it's the presumption of the dialogue is that Oswald survived the single shot to his stomach, and then there would have been a subsequent trial for the murder of our 35th president.
So it's about that piece of the history.
History.
Okay. And the book is an original work, is that right?
Correct.
Now, at some point, Mr. Carnero, you agreed to translate Mr. Nolan's book into Portuguese.
Correct.
For potential sale in that community. And you did that.
Correct.
And this case is about your being compensated for that.
Correct.
Because after you translated it, you sent Mr. Nolan a bill. And Mr. Nolan says that there was no agreement to pay you money. It was a business venture. You agreed to translate the book. And whatever was sold in the Portuguese language version of his book, the profits would be split 50-50. I don't know how many books would sell in Portuguese of this. Did you self-publish or did you have a publisher?
This is published by Author House,
okay.
My copyrighted book.
Put the book down. So the answer is you had a publisher?
Correct.
Did the publisher request that it be translated into any other language?
No.
Has it been, in fact, translated into any other language other than now Portuguese and English?
Not to my knowledge.
So you made no request of anybody else to translate your book?
No. I requested others that had expertise in Spanish, French, and German if they had an interest also in promoting the book in their native languages.
Well, you're not in a PR business, are you? Public relations business?
No, Your Honor.
No. Okay. Now, Mr. Carnero, I'd like you to tell me when you made this arrangement with Mr. Nolan.
It was immediately when we met at school. He came to me and he says, I have this book that I would like very much to have this translated into Portuguese. Would you be interested? I said, yes, because I'm very much interested in the subject of the book, that one. And also was
No. Tell me what the conversation was. Would you be interested in translating the book into Portuguese?
Yes. I said yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And then what?
And then he gave me the book. And as I was leaving the school that evening with the book, his wife turned to me and said, I hope you have the courage to translate this book. And my response was, oh, yes, I will have the courage to translate the book.
Well, what business arrangement did you make with him?
At that moment, we didn't make any business arrangements other than I asking him, do we have a deadline? Is there an urgency to do this? And Mr. Nolan said, no, take your time.
So he said to you, would you like to translate it? And you said, yes, I have an interest in the subject matter. Was that the extent of your conversation with regard to compensation for doing your work?
Basically, yes. And then the following months, during class, I would go to him and bring him up to date on my progress. And I would say, you know, things are going okay, and I'm having some challenges with all the idiomatic expressions that we are using, and also some legal terms. And Mr. Nolan says, don't worry, do your best.
And you finished the job.
And then I finished the job in February.
And then you sent him a bill.
I sent him the bill.
And he didn't pay the bill.
Correct.
Are you using his translation?
No. In fact, I have not even received his translation yet. So there's no quid pro quo.
Just a second. Just answer me. You are not using his translation?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Mr. Carnero, this is your problem, sir. You're suing under the theory of contract, that the two of you had a contract.
Correct.
But there was no contract. The only thing he asked you to do is, would you like, according to you, would you like to translate my book into Portuguese? You said I would. I'm very much interested in the subject matter. That's it. You didn't say I'm going to charge you to translate the book into Portuguese. You didn't say this is what my fee is going to be to translate your book into Portuguese. That would have been a contract. That would have been an offer and an acceptance and some consideration for the work. Consideration is the money. But if somebody said, if Bird said to me, listen, I just got a letter in Yiddish, and would you translate it for me? And if I spoke and wrote Yiddish, I said, sure. And I did it and gave it to him. And I said, now give me $500. He would say to me, what are you, crazy? I asked you if you would like to translate this for me. You said yes. You translated it. I thank you and goodbye. So, unfortunately, Mr. Carneiro, you didn't have a contract with Mr. Nolan. Now, if he had taken the product of your work and used it to his benefit, I might infer a different theory of the law that said, well, he can't benefit from your work without some sort of compensation. Forget about this idea of that you went into a business venture together, because I don't believe that at all. I read your answer. That's baloney. This man is telling me the absolute truth. He just didn't know enough to say, I'm going to charge you 20 cents a word to translate it. And you would say, well, I'll only give you 15 cents a word, or I'll give you 10 cents a word, or I don't want you to do it at all if you're going to charge me money. So, Mr. Carneiro, you didn't have a contract with him. So don't give him the Portuguese translation. The Portuguese translation belongs to you, because if he wants it, then he has to pay for it under the theory of quantum merit, which means you did the work and he has to be compensated. Now, the question is, what he's asking for, sir, is $4,828. Did you make $4,800 in total for the book?
No, ma'am.
No, I assume not, because I assume that your publisher, whoever that is, has not done a lot of marketing for the book. That be a fair statement?
Correct.
When was it published?
2015 by Author House.
So, a long time ago. Well,
Mr. And I get quarterly statements as to the small amount of sales that are generated online.
Yeah, I got it. Do you want his Portuguese translation?
No, I have no use for it. I only have the same opportunity that I presented
Mr. Nolan, last October. Mr. Nolan, I have to tell you, sir, it's really unfair for you, because he wasn't a dear friend of yours. And what he did required a lot of time and work. And why would he do that for you for nothing? I mean, he seems like an intelligent man. And he would say, you know, I mean, how many Portuguese people are going to be interested, who only read in Portuguese, are going to be interested in that particular subject matter? Do you know what I'm talking about? Which is 60 or 70 years old. So I think that you should have made it clear to him that you didn't expect to pay him but for the whatever Portuguese profits you got from the book.
We understand each other,
but Mr. Carneiro, you did not have a contract with an offer and acceptance and consideration with him with a fixed price, and he did not use your work product. So I cannot find in any theory that he's responsible for paying you for your work. Did you enjoy the project?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad. At least you got something out of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
It's our excuse. You may step out.
Well, I'm very happy that she understood what I was asking for.
Judge Shanley correctly applied the law.
And I still think that I should have been paid.
There was no contract that was enforceable by either me.
I should be paid for the work that I did.
Or the plaintiff. And I have received no benefit from his translation.
No, I did not. On advice of friends, do not give him before he pays you.
You never provided it to me.
Nobody works for free.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Navarro versus Sanchez. Step forward.
25-year-old Angel Navarro is suing his brother, Jose Sanchez, for medical bills and punitive damages due to an assault.
Mr. Navarro, this is your brother, and it is your claim that a year ago, your brother scalded you with hot water during an argument.
Yes.
Your brother tells a different story, which would absolve him of any responsibility for your medical costs and any other damages. So why don't you tell me, this was just about a year ago this time.
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
Well, basically what happened was the night before, his friend had came over towards my house where I stay at, and he had told me he needed to come.
Your brother didn't live there?
No, he didn't live here.
You lived with your mother?
Yes.
Okay.
So he told me, his friend came over the house. He knocked on the door. He asked me to come in. I said, okay. He came and two charges found. At that moment, I was the only one at the house. My mom was out for vacation. When I went outside and came back, his friend was already gone. A matter of like 20 minutes of him being there. And when I came to notice, there was things missing.
Like what things?
Simple things like, you know, cigarettes and stuff like that.
No, not stuff like that. What did you notice was missing? Cigarettes?
Mostly just cigarettes.
Cigarettes. Whose cigarettes?
Mine's.
So your cigarettes were missing?
Yes.
Okay. So the next day?
So the next day, my brother came into the house and he knocked on the door. I had opened because I wasn't, you know, mad at him. It wasn't him that did
it. So your brother came to visit his mother?
Yes, but my mom was not there.
Okay, so did he come in?
Yes, I allowed him in.
Okay.
I had laid back down, and when I had got back up...
Mm-hmm. So you let him come in, and you went to take a nap?
Yes.
What time was this?
About 7 in the morning when he first came.
What were you doing there so early in the morning?
What I was doing there, I actually went to see my mother before she went to work.
But she wasn't there?
Yeah.
Okay, just a second. So what were you doing?
What I was doing, I go see her basically every morning before I go to work.
Okay, but she wasn't there?
She wasn't there. When I got to the house, I found out that she had actually went to New York. I don't live in the house.
So you stayed?
So I stayed there for a little
bit. To do what?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Who threatened you?
Him, as having his friend come over the house and hit me.
Why would he say, I'm going to have my friend come over and hit you? His friend may have said, I'm going to come over to beat you up for accusing me of taking the cigarettes. But why would your brother say, I'm going to beat you up?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Angel Navarro says his brother, Jose Sanchez, threw boiling water on him during an argument.
So you stayed?
So I stayed there for a little
bit. To do what?
Basically what I did, I had to go
to work. I don't want you to say basically. You go there to visit your mom. Now you come in, your brother answers the door. It's you. He goes back to sleep because it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and he wasn't planning to get up. You decided to stay even though your mother wasn't there. Okay.
I decided.
And what were you doing?
Actually, what I did was, you know, I made me some breakfast before I went to work.
Okay. So you were going to have some breakfast before you left for work from your mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
So you were in the kitchen.
I was in the kitchen.
Were you cooking?
I was boiling some eggs.
How many eggs were you boiling?
I was boiling, it was like 3 or 4 eggs.
Okay. And what were you going to do with the eggs?
What I was going to do, eat them.
Well, but not four eggs for breakfast in the morning.
I was going to eat them because I usually don't eat lunch like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, that's the time that I usually eat lunch, you know. So I was basically going to eat some and, you know, take some for work like I always do, you know. And when I was boiling the eggs,
Now, he's going to tell me. So you're in the kitchen, you're boiling eggs. You get up.
So I get up and I came to him calmly and I told him about...
So you came into the kitchen where he was boiling eggs.
Yes. Yeah. I told him calmly...
Don't tell me calmly. You said to him...
I said to him that his friend is no longer allowed around the house. Because normally he would still come.
Not normally. Your friend's not allowed to come in the house anymore because...
Due to the fact that he had stole the cigarettes from me.
He took your cigarettes.
And it wasn't about just the cigarettes. It's just about the main purpose of him taking the cigarettes or taking anything from the house.
And what did your brother say to you?
At that moment, he decided to call his friend and...
Called his friend on the cell phone?
Yes.
And what did he... Did you overhear what he was saying?
Yes, because I was still there at the kitchen.
And what did he say? And what...
He asked... He was telling his friend that basically I said that he stole my cigarettes.
Did you take my brother's cigarettes?
Yes. And the kid told him, told him no. But he was the only one that was there when all that went down.
Okay, so you said to... just a second. So he asked his friend, did you take my brother's cigarettes? His friend says no. What's the next thing that happened?
So he was on the phone with his friend, and basically after...
Not basically. I don't want to hear any basically.
So after that happened, he started telling him, like, basically to come over the house to, like, threaten me, like, to, like, hit me and everything.
You mean for accusing him of taking the cigarettes?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what he was saying. And what happened next?
So at that point, he started threatening me, and he...
Who threatened you?
Him, as having his friend come over the house and hit me.
No, why would he say, I'm going to have my friend come over and hit you? His friend may have said, I'm going to come over to beat you up for accusing me of taking the cigarettes, but why would your brother say, I'm going to beat you up?
This is an issue that we've had ever since for a couple years now.
It's what?
This is an issue that we have for a couple years now.
What do you mean it's an issue? What's the issue?
I mean, no matter what you say about about his friends and everything, or what the situation is, he always defends them.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He grabbed my hand. We were arguing, so I pushed him, and he went against the stove. When he went against the stove, you know, he hit the pot, and the pot went over his back. That's my part of my story.
That's your story, and I'm sticking to it.
And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 25-year-old Angel Navarro is suing his brother, Jose Sanchez, for medical bills and punitive damages due to an assault.
What happened next?
When he started threatening me, I asked him to leave the house.
So you told him to leave?
Yes. And there was, you know, like verbal, like him
so you
like,
told
trying
him
to tell me that
no,
he's not going to leave.
I want to go step by step, Mr. Navarro. You told him to leave the house.
Yes.
He's in his, what he considers his mother's house, which he goes to most mornings to see her.
Yes.
So you told him to leave.
Yes.
And what's the next thing that happened? You said, get out.
Yes.
And what did he say?
So at one point when I turned around, he threw the hot boiling pot water behind my back.
What did you turn your back for?
To go open the door at the kitchen. I mean, the living room.
Uncross your arms.
Okay, all right.
Now, so you were taken to the hospital?
Yes, I was.
And you had second-degree burns on your back?
Yes.
How long did you stay in the hospital?
It was a couple of hours. A
couple of hours. And they gave you some salve to put on your back. You weren't hospitalized at all?
No.
And this happened a year ago?
Yeah.
And you recently got bills?
Yes.
You thought you had insurance? Do you work?
I had stopped working.
So you weren't working?
So I didn't
and you
have
had no
insurance.
Insurance.
Okay, and then
fine.
I was...
Okay, your version comes inside. You're boiling four eggs, which is a lot of cholesterol to have in the morning. And your brother comes in and says, your friends can't come here anymore because he stole my cigarettes. You call your friend and say, did you steal my brother's cigarettes? Your friend said, I didn't steal your brother's cigarettes, and I'm going to come over and beat him up for accusing me of stealing his cigarettes. Your brother says to you, get out of my house. Take it away.
I just felt like, you know...
I don't care what you felt like.
When I got there to the house...
I don't care. Listen to me. I don't care what you felt like. We're at the point where you're not talking to your friend anymore. Your brother tells you to get out. What's the next thing that happens?
I didn't get out, you know, because I was
You didn't get out. What
breakfast.
Did you say to him?
I said, you know, basically what I said was...
I don't want to hear basically.
Okay, you don't want to hear basically.
No, I don't want to hear anything basically.
I'm going to tell you
I want you to say, he told me to get out, and I said to him...
He told me to get out, and I was like, I don't have to. This is my mother's house.
Right.
Your
that's
name
what
is
I,
not on the lease.
That's what I would say
you
to
know,
him. Just
this
a
is
second.
My mother's house.
Just a second. I don't have to get out. This is... not your house, it's my mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he said to you...
He was like, get out. You know.
And he said, get out. And you
like,
said...
So we started arguing, you know.
Well, I'm hearing the said. You started arguing.
We started arguing over something that, you know, the cigarettes or whatever went missing. I wasn't there. He should have never allowed
No. I don't want to hear shoulda, coulda, woulda. I want to hear what happened. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. You in a family dispute? Go to judgejudy.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
Now, I don't want to hear shoulda, coulda, woulda. I want to hear what happened. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Not basically, not what you think, not what he thought, not what your friend did. I want to know what happened. He told you to leave. You said, I don't have to leave because it's my mother's house. Then you started to argue. What's the next thing that happened?
The next thing that happened, okay, he grabbed my hands. When
he grabbed
my
hand.
Hands.
Now, I'm going to send Officer Bird. Officer Bird, would you do this for me? Would you do this for me, please? Just go over there to Mr. Sanchez. I want to see what he's... Because I couldn't understand what he's talking about in here. So he's going to grab your hands. Like,
sure.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so now you're boiling your eggs, and you're arguing back and forth. And I want you to be your brother. And Officer Bird is you. You say your brother grabbed your hands. Show me how he grabbed
he
your
hands. He grabbed my hands. We were arguing, so...
He grabbed your hands like this.
Yeah, what I did, you know, what I did, basically...
I don't want to hear basically.
Are you going to let me...
No. Grab his hands.
Okay.
Like he was grabbing your hands.
So, I pushed him. You know, he grabbed my hands. Maybe it didn't happen like that, but I pushed him, you know, and he went against the stove. When he went against the stove, okay, I guess he hit the, you know, he hit the pot, and the pot went over his back. That's my part of my story.
That's your story, and I'm sticking to it.
And I'm sticking to it.
Now, judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $5,000. We're done.
I just are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy. A landlord is overrun by bad tenants.
How did the holes get in the walls?
Kids tend to do whatever else they want to when their parents are not there.
The house looks trashed.
Next, Judge Judy.
The marks and the length of the marks are explaining all itself.
I didn't throw it on him.
I'm not going to hit the stove down here and the water coming up all the way up to here.
You were there to see it? No, you weren't.
That's just what's not going to happen.
I'm not glad that he got hurt, you know, but at the end of the day, like...
I don't want to be near him at all.
We really never had no type of relationship, so it don't even matter.
Just can't pick family.